الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences in regards to sending salawat upon the best of creation, our beloved master Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration which is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sayyiduna Fudala bin Ubaid radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once sitting in the masjid when a man came and offered his salah. And then he made dua in the following words, Allahumma ighfirli warhamni. O Allah, forgive me and have mercy upon me. Upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to that person, Ajilta ayyuhal musalli. O the one who offered salah, you have hurried. You have acted in a haste manner. And then the Prophet ﷺ advised him and said, إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ When you have performed your salah, فَقَعَدْتَ Then you sit. فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ بِمَا هُوَ أَهْلُ Then you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that befits his rank, his status. وَصَلِّ عَلَيَّ ثُمَّ دُعُوهُ After that you recite salat upon me and then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narrator states that after this, another person came, he offered salah and then he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said to that person, أَيُّهَا الْمُصَلِّي أُدُعُوا تُجَبْ That, O one offering salah, make dua, your dua will be accepted. So what do we learn from this narration? We learn that whenever we make dua, if we recite salat ala nabi, peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that dua, then there is a greater probability, a greater chance of the dua being accepted, inshallah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قارون was the cousin of Sayyidina Musa عليه السلام He was the son of his uncle This individual named قارون It stated regarding him that Allah تعالى had blessed him with immense beauty Very handsome, good looking. People would praise him for that reason. And not only this, he was a great scholar of the Tawrat Sharif, the Torah. And again, people respected him because of this, because of his knowledge. But what happened? There came a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Qarun who was a humble person before, Allah blessed him with a lot of wealth, treasures of wealth. How much wealth did he have? The Quran tells us. Allah Ta'ala states in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Surah Al-Qasas, verse 76, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ Translation, And we gave him so many treasures whose keys were a heavy burden for a strong group of men. This verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the commentators of the Quran say that 40 men, they would carry the keys, the miftah, mafatih is the jama' of miftah, they would carry the keys to the treasures of wealth belonging to Qarun. And then what happened when wealth came to him? His whole demeanor, his whole manner changed. Before he was humble. We know he had knowledge of Tawrat Sharif. As soon as wealth came to him, he became arrogant. This changed him. Now when zakat, the verse of zakat was revealed in that time, Qarun said, I will pay 1 out of 1,000. But when he calculated his wealth, he realized very soon that, wait a minute, this is a lot of money. Even just 1,000th of my wealth is a lot of money. So he refused to give it. And what happened? At the same time, because he knew Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam would ask him about this, he thought of an evil idea. He thought, how should I make Bani Israel divert their attention from me? How should I make them think bad of Musa alayhi salam? What did he do? He gave money, a lot of money to a woman and said to her, I want you to accuse Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam of wrongdoing. Ma'adallah. Say that he did wrong with you. That woman accepted. When she was offered the money, she fell prey to her desires. Then what happened? Musa alayhi salam one day is delivering a sermon when Qarun interrupted him and said to him that the Bani Israel, they believe that you committed adultery with such and such a woman. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, bring that woman forward. Bring that woman here, we will ask her. That woman was summoned. She came before Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam said, by Allah, O woman, swear by Allah who split the river, who dug the ways and revealed the Torah, speak the truth. And when she saw Musa alayhi salam and the awe of prophethood overwhelmed her, she could not lie. And she admitted, she said, Qarun gave me a lot of wealth. For what? He wanted me to slander you. He wanted me to accuse you of this bad and evil act of adultery. Now, what happened? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam prostrated to Allah there and then. He's crying, shedding tears abundantly. And he said, O Allah, inflict your wrath and anger upon Qarun. Who is making this dua? Nabi of Allah, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And the prophets, their duas are accepted. Musa alayhi salam said, O Allah, inflict your anger and wrath upon Qarun. Then he said to Bani Israel, that the one who is with Qarun should stay with him. And the one who is with me should separate from Qarun. It states that every single person separated themselves from Qarun besides two people. Unfortunate people. They stayed with Qarun. Thereafter, Musa alayhi salam ordered the earth, Ya ardu khudihim. O earth, seize them. Khudihim. What happened? Straight away it says, Qarun began to sink into the earth up to his knees. Then Musa alayhi salam again made the same dua. This time Qarun sunk to his waist. And then after witnessing this, Qarun began to cry, began to scream. He started begging Musa alayhi salam and he said, I'm your cousin for the sake of our kinship. Save me. But Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam did not give any response. Finally, Qarun sank completely into the earth. Sayyidina Qatada radiallahu ta'ala states that this will continue happening with Qarun all the way till the day of judgment, till the hereafter. And the Bani Israel, first of all, they said, that perhaps Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam made this dua and cursed Qarun because of his mansion, because of his wealth, because of these reasons. Then what happened? The house of Qarun that was made of gold, all his treasure were buried into the ground as well. Meaning a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what need does he have for worldly luxuries? He has the qurba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a prophet of Allah. Why would he ever fall prey to the love of the world? This cannot be said. Allah ta'ala mentions this, the sinking of Qarun into the earth, in Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Qasas, verse 81, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. Translation. Then we caused him and his home to sink into the earth. So he had no group to help save him from Allah, nor could he take revenge. Dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madin Channel, what do we learn from this waqiyah, this incident of Qarun? That wealth, maal is a big, massive test. We all desire it, we all want it. But when wealth comes to a person, and it comes in large amounts, that is a massive test. Look what happened to Qarun. He was an alim of the Tawrat Sharif. He was humble before the people respected him, honored him. As soon as wealth came to him, he changed completely. His attitude changed. Messed up his mind. He became arrogant. When the verse of Zakat was revealed, he said, I will give a thousandth share of my wealth. One out of a thousand. In the way of Allah, az-Zakat. But did he fulfill that? No. When he calculated it, and it happens today as well. When people calculate their Zakat properly, and if they're very wealthy, they may think, shaitan may make them think, all of that money, I have to give 20,000, 40,000, 50,000, people who are very wealthy, easily their zakat would be that much, even more. Then they begin to think, what if I hold on to that money? And then, ma'azallah, many a times they don't end up fulfilling this obligation. What happened? Qarun, firstly, did not want to give zakat. Secondly, to make Bani Israel think bad of Musa alayhi salam, he paid a woman. Look at that wealth that Allah gave him. Now he's using that wealth for wrong reasons. And this is also happening today. When Allah blesses someone, he should use that wealth only to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience to the Almighty. But if he uses that wealth for wrongful purposes, for haram, then this will come back to haunt him. He will suffer the consequences of that on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Qarun paid a woman a very hefty amount, a large amount, and said, I want you to accuse Musa alayhi salam of adultery. And she did so. But when she came into the court of Musa alayhi salam, she had to reveal the truth. The awe of prophethood overpowered her. She said, I was lying. Qarun gave me money and he told me to say this. Then Musa alayhi salam cursed Qarun. Qarun sank into the earth. And as we heard, he will continue to sink into the earth until the hereafter. So wealth is a massive, massive test. But if one has wealth and he fulfills the obligation of that wealth, he fulfills the right of that wealth, then that wealth is not a curse for him, it's a blessing for him. Because now he's using that wealth to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know in Islam as well, one of the main pillars, one of the five pillars of Islam is zakat. Zakat, 2.5% of your wealth, of your savings, after a year has passed upon it, must be given in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are conditions, there is detail, but generally speaking, 2.5%. So someone has £100,000 in savings, £2,500. If someone has £10,000, £250. So when giving that wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're fulfilling an obligation, which is known as the obligation of zakat. In Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Surah Baqarah, verse 43, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. And establish salah and give zakat. Now, Sayyid Na'imuddin Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi has said that this verse is about the fardiyat, the obligation of zakat. Now, when we look at Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we learn about the importance of zakat through the fact that Allah has mentioned zakat and salah together, like this, wa aqimus salat wa atu zakat, they have both been mentioned together 32 times in the Quran. Not once, not five times, not 10 times. 32 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned salah, and then he's mentioned zakat. Now salah, many people perform it. Many don't. But zakat, that's a bigger test from one aspect. Because salah is a badani ibadat, physical ibadah. A person gets up, performs wudu, carries out the actions of salah. He can do that at home if there's no masjid nearby, or he does that with jama'at, if jama'at is wajib upon him. It can be easier from one aspect. Whereas zakat is a mali ibadat, monetary ibadat, wealth. An insan doesn't want to part with wealth. Insan is always told by shaitan that you will suffer from poverty. Ash-shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqra. Quran tells us that shaitan tells you that you'll become poor. Because of that, people don't like to part with their wealth. They like to safeguard it. They like to keep it. But remember, if someone doesn't give zakat, there are severe consequences. And why do we need to give zakat? Remember, there are so many wisdoms. But from a foundational point, look at the whole dunya. Approximately 7-8 billion people in the world. Not everybody is wealthy. There are wealthy people, there are poor people. There are those who are well off, there are those who are suffering from destitution. To maintain a balance, to ensure that people are eating, people are surviving, Allah Ta'ala has ordained that we need to eat to gain nourishment, to survive. When the wealthy part with their wealth and they give zakat, who benefits? The poor people, of course. When the poor people benefit, they make dua for the wealthy people. Allah blesses them with even more. So this is the system that Allah Ta'ala has created. If He wanted to, He could have made everybody wealthy. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have made every single person wealthy. But He chose not to. He willed not to. Some are wealthy, others are not. Now those who are wealthy, they have to ensure that they are fulfilling this obligation of zakat, zakatul mal. And remember, whenever you give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you more. Inshallah, let's listen to some fawaid, let's listen to some benefits of giving zakat. Firstly, when a person gives zakat, this is a sign that his iman is kamil, his iman is perfect, is complete. Listen to two narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "At-targhib wa tarhib." Completion of Islam entails that you give zakat of your mal, your wealth. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The one who has iman upon Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is necessary for him to pay zakat of his mal." So it completes your iman. Another thing, when you give zakat, divine mercy showers on a person. The rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you ask any Muslim, he'll say, "I'll do anything for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." In Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And my mercy encompasses everything. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So I shall soon destine favors for those who fear and pay the obligatory charity. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Allah Ta'ala has said He will shower His mercy upon those who give zakat. Also, when you give zakat, what you're actually doing is developing taqwa. You're developing piety. In Surah Al-Baqarah, right at the beginning, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That this Quran is a guidance for all the pious people, for all the pious believers. And then he describes who the pious people are. And one of the things he mentions, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The pious people are those who spend from what Allah gives them, from what we have given them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So Allah has given you wealth, you spend it in His way. This is also a benefit of zakat, that your taqwa will increase. Another thing, the one who gives zakat has attained falah, success. Today everybody wants to know how to become successful. How do I attain success? The Quran is telling you about how to attain success. You want to be a successful believer? The Quran states, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers have succeeded. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are submissive in their salah. When they perform salah, they have khushu and khudu'. They're not thinking about other stuff. Their minds are not wandering off. They are submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their prayer with sincerity and submission. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Successful is the one who refrains from useless speech. Today we don't become tired when speaking. We speak for hours on end. If we were to evaluate our speech, if we were to take account of our speech, how much is beneficial, how much is non-beneficial, then we'd realize how much time we spend speaking uselessly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the successful believers, and He says they are those who refrain from useless speech. And then He says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. The successful believers are those who give their zakat. So automatically we learn from this verse, all those who don't give zakat are not successful in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole world can say somebody is successful, but if he's not giving his zakat when it's due, then according to Al-Quran Al-Kareem and the hukam of Allah, the decision of Allah, he's not successful. Why? Because this life will soon be over and he will stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't ask about his worldly achievements. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, did you give zakat or not? I blessed you with wealth. And if the person falls short there, he will have to suffer. Also, the Quran tells us that when you give zakat, zakatul mal, then you deserve the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nusrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divine help and aid. Allah jalla wa ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Translation, and indeed Allah will assist the one who helps his religion, the one who helps the religion of Allah. Indeed, surely Allah is almighty, dominant. The people who, if we give them control in the land, would keep the prayer established and pay charity and enjoin virtue and forbid from evil. And for Allah only is the result of all works. So in this verse we're told you give zakat, amongst other things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will be with you. Everybody wants the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when giving zakat, remember you are pleasing your fellow Muslims. When a person, sahibul mal, when he gives his zakat, fulfills the obligation of zakat, where does the zakat go to? To the needy, to those who are mustahiq, who are deserving, worthy of zakat. They don't have wealth, they don't have savings. They are fuqara, in terminology of Sharia. When you give them wealth and they are able to fulfill their needs using that wealth, then they'll be pleased with you. You've entered happiness into their hearts. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the greatest deed after performing obligatory acts is to pour happiness into the heart of a Muslim. So here you're fulfilling zakat, the obligation of zakat, and at the same time you're placing happiness into the heart of a believer. So this is why zakat should be given. Also, zakat purifies wealth. Zakat purifies wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pay zakat out of your wealth, it will purify you. Also, we're told that when you give zakat, it gets rid of bad habits like stinginess, miserliness, bukhul. So there's so many, alhamdulillah, so many benefits in giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that He will increase those who give wealth in His way. وَمَا أَنفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. Whatever you spend in the way of Allah, Allah will replace it. Allah will give you more. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. And also, it's mentioned here that when you give zakat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the evil effect of wealth will be removed from him. Now here, we should ponder, if somebody has wealth, zakat is fard upon him, he doesn't give it, 6 months down the line, 3 months down the line, a calamity strikes him. He ends up spending that money anyway, that he refrained from giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as zakat. Now tell me, if such a thing were to happen to a person who avoided giving zakat, then has he really managed to save his money? No. And this is how the ulama describe it. They say those who don't give zakat, that money will be lost anyway. He'll have no barakah in that money. Why? Because he's not fulfilling the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So zakat is very, very important. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, protect your wealth in a strong fort by paying its zakat and treat your sick with charity. So the list goes on. There are so many, subhanAllah, so many benefits of giving zakat. You removing the difficulty of a believer. In one narration it states, whoever removes the worldly trouble of a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove his trouble on the day of judgment. So, gaining the du'as of the fuqara, this is also one benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are given divine help and rizq through the du'as of the poor. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this, sadiqul wa'di wal amin. He's saying, you want the help of Allah and you want rizq to come your way, then you must give to the poor, and through them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. So the benefits of giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are abundant. One Sahabi, it was time to give zakat, and he had a large flock of animals, and it was calculated that he was only to give a 1-year-old she-camel for the zakat of all of his animals. He said, what will this 1-year-old she-camel do? It doesn't even give drink. It doesn't even give milk. It's not very strong. You can't even ride it. And then he offered to give another she-camel, which was a lot bigger in age and size and the usage of that camel. But the Sahabi who was allocated to collect it, to collect the zakat, said, I can't do that of my own accord. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is here. Let's go and ask him. So they went to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole incident was mentioned. And this Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the first time I'm having the privilege of showing you my wealth, my possessions. This is my zakat, I've been told, but I want to give a healthy animal in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to give more than what's due upon me. I want to benefit the Muslims like that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and said, that is what is due upon you, meaning the previous amount. However, if you want to give a young camel at your own will, Allah will give you a reward for it. We accept her from you. That Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that she camel is here, I have brought her, so accept her. The Prophet alayhi salam then ordered for that she camel to be taken, and he alayhi salam prayed for barakah to be placed into the maal of that Sahabi. So what do we learn from this account? This is in Sunan Abi Dawood, that the Sahaba were passionate about giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would go above and beyond in giving their zakat. They weren't just about fulfill, you know, the obligation, which in and of itself is fine, but it just goes to show their passion, their jazbah, their love for Islam. They wanted to serve Islam as much as they could. And we have to reflect on our lives, what we're doing with the wealth that Allah has given us. Remember, those who don't give wealth, there are severe consequences. Al-Quran al-Kareem states, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, and those who hoard gold and silver and do not spend it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so give them the glad tidings of a painful punishment. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them the glad tidings of a painful punishment. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we have to give. We have to give if we meet the conditions. Another couple of narrations in this regard, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first three people who will enter hell, the first three people, one of them will be that man who did not fulfill the right of Allah, meaning zakat. He never gave zakat. And he'll be one of the first three people to enter hell. Also, in Sahih Muslim, it states, if any person is an owner of gold or silver and he does not fulfill its right, zakat, if he meets the conditions, when the day of judgment will come, plates of fire will be spread for him, which will then be heated in the fire of hell, and then his sides, his forehead, and his back would be branded with them. Whenever these cool down, the process will be repeated during the day. And the extent of that day, we know, is 50,000 years until judgment is pronounced amongst the people. And he would see his path then, whether he's going to Jannah or whether he's going to hellfire. So we need to calculate it properly. If people are confused, then they should come. They should meet an alim, a mufti of Islam, describe everything to him, that this is my savings, this is stock I have for trade, for business, these are my investments. You should mention everything. We shouldn't cut corners in this regard. And then when the alim, when the mufti sahab will tell you, this is how much zakat you should give, we should be wholeheartedly willing to give that zakat as well. Not like Qarun ma'adallahu, when he calculated his zakat, he said, I'm not giving it. When it was too much in his eyes, and what happened in the end, he was sunk into the earth, and he's still being punished, will be punished until the day of judgment. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami also collects zakat. Wherever you give, give wholeheartedly, calculate the complete amount. Remember your relatives. A lot of people overlook their relatives, but they are more deserving. If they are mustahik of zakat, then you must give to them as well. And this is also a double reward. Why? One reward for zakat, second reward for silatul rahim. That you are maintaining ties of kinship. You are maintaining blood ties with your relatives as well. Many people, they may have relatives abroad who are suffering and struggling in this regard, and they are worthy of zakat. You should look out for them as well. You should help them as well. And as we heard, when you relieve a difficulty of a believer, that believer will pray for you. Allah Ta'ala will bless your rizq in abundance. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala accept what has been said and enable all of us to act upon it. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We are calling upon you.